Chapter 1. Marcelie Jones looked in the mirror and gave herself an affirming nod. The outfit she'd chosen screamed business, and so long as she didn't look at her debit account, she wouldn't scream at what she'd paid for it out of her carefully planned monthly budget. Coming across as a professional was a need, not a want. Right? The low heels, brown slacks, and rose gold top paired exceedingly well with the Chanel jacket she'd purchased secondhand off of a resale site, and perfected the image she'd worked to achieve over the last 8 years. And now that her career was finally, taking off, well, a little splurge was okay. "Are you ready, Ms. Jones?" Marcelie nodded, and gave herself a final once-over in the mirror before following the headset-wearing associate from the green room to the wings of the nationally televised studio. Her nerves kicked up multiple levels, and she inhaled, then counted slowly as she exhaled. She'd had her doubts about appearing on this particular show because of the host's penchant for drama, but free publicity was free publicity, and she couldn't afford to pay for the exposure this interview would bring. So long as she stayed calm, cool, and collected, nothing could go wrong. Right? And now our special guest will give us all the insight we need to date in the 21st century, the host said, smiling into the camera. Please welcome professional matchmaker and author of the best-selling Good Girl's Guide to Dating, Marcelie Jones. Marcelie's pulse raced as she crossed the shiny floor, praying all the while she didn't slip in the heels and go tumbling down like a drunken spring breaker. She shook hands with the host she'd met backstage before the show had begun taping, and waved to the audience before taking her appointed seat. "Wow. Marcelie, I have to say, when they said I'd be interviewing a matchmaker, I expected someone much older and dowdy. I didn't expect our matchmaker to be so beautiful, did you, audience?" Marcelie smiled and murmured a soft word of thanks, uncomfortable with the catcalls and whistles from the audience. "I've been looking forward to this segment all morning, Marcelie. I can't wait to hear your recommendations for dating. I'm recently single, as I told you backstage, and I'm ready to jump into things again." "Thank you, Gwen. I do have suggestions, and I certainly hope I can answer any questions you might have. So tell us, if we've been off the dating scene for a while, how do we start? Where do we start?" "Both of those are easy. Start where you are. A trip to the grocery store, the gym, a walk in the park. So often we have our head down and earbuds in, and we don't notice those around us, but there's a lot of potential out there if we pay attention. There are some cuties at my gym. Watch out, boys," Gwen said, earning another audience laugh. "But where else? What about online dating?" "Personally, I think we need to dial things back a notch. In our world of technology, romance has gotten lost in swipes and ghosting. If there's someone you're interested in, why not phone them and talk to them in person? Make it more personal by asking them for coffee or dinner. But keep the phones tucked away while you have a real conversation and sincerely invest in getting to know them." "But what about our introverts out there? How do they strike up a conversation? Or is that where your matchmaking service comes into play?" "Well, it certainly can come into play. Matchmaking is an age-old profession, and I'm thrilled to say that Marcelie's matches has a 92% success rate." "Oh, really?" Gwen said, giving the audience a wide smile. "For clarification, you're based here in Wilmington, North Carolina, but you are national?" "Yes. I have many clients all over the U.S. Tell us how you got into the profession." Marcelie forced herself to inhale so her voice wouldn't reveal the nerves racking her. "Matchmaking is something I've always had a knack for. I fixed up friends in high school and college, and when I graduated with a business degree and looked at what I wanted to do, it just made sense to stick with something I love." "How wonderful. The Wilmington area is largely single, is it not?" "Yes, Wilmington is about 60% single, mostly due to the colleges, but also because so many flock to the coast when they feel in need of a fresh start, whether it's after a breakup or being widowed or divorced. Who hires you? More men or women? It's fairly even, actually. People today have busy lives and work long hours. If they aren't into bars and clubs, which skew to the younger set, they aren't sure where to go to meet people. I help with that and do a bit of investigating before they ever get to the first date. Investigating? That sounds interesting. Tell us more. Of course. I take my client's safety seriously, and I run background checks on any potential date as well as my clients, so there aren't any surprises, at least on paper. It helps to weed out those with criminal histories, domestic violence charges, or those wanting to date when they're already married. The audience laughed, and Gwen nodded repeatedly. Yes, we definitely need those weeded out, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? Imhum. Gwen turned to look at Marcelly once more. Marcelly, you wrote a book on dating for good girls. Tell us a bit about that. I'd love to. I wrote the book when I was actively dating, and realized the men I was meeting were mainly looking for hookups, and not interested in something more substantial. I was frustrated, and began to establish a set of rules or guidelines to use to weed them out. That became the catalyst for the book, and ultimately the rules used by Marcelly's matches. What kinds of rules are we talking about here? Well, the gentleman always pays for the first date. Always. It may seem sexist, but I found myself on a date once thinking my date would pay or at least split the check, but he had other ideas and I wound up paying the tab. Oh ho. I'd say he didn't get a second date. He did not. Though he did ask, Marcelly said, smiling. Another rule is that my clients meet at the location, and no home addresses or numbers are exchanged until at least the third date, because usually by then, you have a better idea of whether or not there's any crazy in the mix that the background check didn't weed out. Gwen laughed at the news. What about all these people sending nudes? I take it that's a no-no, too? Absolutely. If that's the kind of relationship you want, that's what you'll get. But if you're looking for something more, something that might potentially lead to the altar, you have to establish boundaries and see them through. I see. Well, I can understand that. I'm curious, though. You mentioned coming up with this when you were actively dating, and I think a matchmaker is only as good as her own perfect match. Am I right, audience? I mean, if she can't match herself, how can she accurately match others? The dig slid home, and Marcelly inwardly cringed. Why had she done this again? She felt her face begin to flush at the catcalls and whistles. Now, Marcelly. You have to give us the details. Your significant other has to be a gem of a man. I'm guessing tall, dark, and handsome. The audience response became even louder, and Marcelly felt her entire body break out in sweat. Not the glistening kind, but the kind that comes when fear takes hold. And my perfect match is yes, I suppose he's all of those things. Oh. Go on. Her brain scrambled like the egg she'd tried to down this morning and couldn't due to nerves. She needed to end this topic. Now. How about we discuss more of the suggestions included in my book? Surely now the host would take a hint and change the subject. Oh no, girl. You match people for a living. It's only fair you give us a name. Right? Gwen said to the audience, waving at them to get their agreement. You're too beautiful to be single. So who is your perfect man? Tell us what's his name. Marcelly wanted the floor to open up and swallow her. Was she really not going to be taken seriously because she wasn't attached? I really can't. Of course you can. We have to know who this perfect specimen of manhood is. Tell us, a voice called from the audience. Does he have a brother? Asked another. Our viewing audience wants to know, girlfriend. Who is the matchmaker's secret? The crowd roared, the sound deafening. This was it. The time to come clean and confess her single status. Her heart raced in her chest, pounding against her ribs, her palms sweaty and slick, the jacket too hot. I. Marcelly, how can we believe in love when you won't share? You've already said he's tall, dark, and handsome. I'm guessing quite successful, too. Someone special you think of as your perfect match? Oh well. I do, but... And his name is? Come on, sweet girl, we want details. You have to tell us or else, how else can we believe in love? Ollie, she blurted softly, and the microphone she wore picked up the breath of sound. Ah, and there we have it, Gwen said, a sly grin forming on her face. What? Had she really said it out loud? No. Girl, you should be shouting his name from the rooftops, not whispering, Gwen said. Especially since Marcelly's sweet Ollie is short for Hollywood hottie Oliver Beck. The audience gasped collectively and erupted in applause, shouts, and whistles. The studio audience roared with deafening noise. Take a look at this. Our little hometown girl and Oliver Beck are killing it, Gwen said, as you can see from this picture of the happy couple taken when Oliver was in Wilmington not long ago. How cute are they? Marcelly looked around until she spotted the image being shown to the audience. The picture was zoomed in and showed her staring up at her brother's best friend with adoring eyes that revealed far too much for comfort. How did you? That was a private gathering. Her parents' anniversary party, in fact. Oh. Girl, we all know when it comes to Hollywood stars, ain't nothing private. Especially when they look like him. So tell us, Marcelly, what is it like being Oliver Beck's girlfriend? Marcelly stared into the blinding lights and stumbled through the next minute of live television, looking like a fool with all of her ums, ahs, and silence when Gwen's questions bombarded her. Obviously, they'd kept things on the down low, so were they now going to take things to the next level? Was there a ring involved? Coming soon? The very moment Gwen gave up trying to coerce another blundering response and the all-clear was given, Marcelly raced from the set to the ladies' room, gasping for breath when her phone began to ring. She ignored it, but it kept ringing and ringing. She fumbled to silence it, and groaned when she saw her brother's name appear above her mother's. Her father's. Her best friend, Eliza, who had boarded a cruise ship this morning for her honeymoon. A multitude of unknowns that were rapidly leaving voicemail messages. Sweet baby Jesus, she said prayerfully, knowing only a higher power could ever deliver her from the mess she'd just created. What have I done?